There's $250,000 lining the walls of the banana stand.
What?
Cash, Michael.
Why didn't you tell me that?
How much clearer can I say? There's always money in the banana stand!
Hi, this is Danny Opie from At The Movies. The fall spooky season is arriving, promising thrills and chills. On another note, the CJLO funding drive is taking place from October 24th to November 8th, promising thrills and good times. We may be out of this world sometimes with our programming and have some heavy metal shows that get loud. However, we're not a scary bunch. We're a welcoming community of volunteer radio hosts. Therefore, don't be shy to approach us with your generous donations.
You can donate by cash at any one of our funding drive events or at the studio when we are open during our office hours. Or you can also donate online at cjlofundingdrive.com. CJLO 1690 AM is a community campus radio station that prides itself on providing information and entertainment to the citizens of Montreal. We've been doing this through our news and segments and our radio shows for the last 25 years. With your help, we'll be more than happy to continue doing this for another 25 years and beyond. We invite you to join us inside the CJLO funding drive at our events to celebrate good times with us. Come on.
Come on. It's time to come together. It's up to you.
Nina, it is good to have you back again for the special funding drive edition of At The Movies this year. I'm so happy to have you back.
I'm so happy to be back, Remy. Yeah.
So before we get started here, I'm going to remind our audiences that funding drive is currently on at CJLO 1690 AM. Support local community radio and entertainment by visiting cjlofundingdrive.com for more information and how to support. Nina's show Dreamscapes airs on Mondays from 4 to 5 p.m. And it is a great show. I can recommend that. So on to today's episode, we're going to be talking about The Test Dream, which is part of the fifth season of The Sopranos, directed by Alan Coulter and written by David Chase and Matthew Weiner. Let's talk about the season five. In sort of general, in this season, Carmela and Tony are separated in will they, won't they get back together? Will they work it out? After the fourth season's episode, Whitecaps. Season five episode, The Two Tonys, introduces a new Tony. This is Tony Blundetto, a cousin of Tony Soprano, played by Steve Buscemi, who is recently released from prison. Episode 11, Test Dream, opens as there has been a retaliation between both sides of the feuding families going on.
Thanks for recapping that, because I went back to just really watch that one. And so it's good to remember the context. It's interesting that there's a theme of retaliation. For me, there's a connection there with a lot of things that came up in the dream. When I watched the episode again a second time, I really found the televisions quite interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting as a dream symbol. It's also interesting as a symbol, like from a cultural studies perspective, like this is a television show that's using this dream sequence to really highlight the television and like stream of consciousness. When I saw those TVs, I thought, you know, the only other times we see him, we see those TVs is when he's watching war documentaries, right? Do you? Yeah.
Yeah. So he watches a lot of war documentaries. Also, I think too, he installed inside of like his pool house there like a type of a home media center that becomes like a really focal point of the messiness inside of Whitecaps with him and Carmela. That's like one of the big falling outs that they have is over the the media center at the very end of it too. So he watches war documentaries mainly about leaders and generals. He also likes watching the classics like The Godfather, of course. We see him and AJ playing video games once inside of season one, I think, as well too. So yeah, there are various things that he does watch on TV. But inside the dream itself too, I can say that Tony's very interested because at first he's like interested by what's going on to television, but then he realizes like, oh my gosh, like it's me on the television. Like it's a mirror image or a self-reflection.
Well, when you said too that there's two Tonys, something is reflecting in him, even though it's a part of like the real life plot line, it's still like a character that's brought in that's maybe reflecting something about himself. I noticed too, like Tony, Steve Buscemi Tony, he was like living in, you know, he had young kids and just like his house like looked crazy. And then we have like just a couple scenes later, we have Tony Soprano in this beautiful hotel, right? Just like the most pristine, like honestly the kind of space that I would feel really anxious that I was going to break something, like it's that kind of hotel. So it's just I felt like there was a lot of there was like contrast there too, and yeah, the fact that he was seeing himself in the dream in the videos, it made me think of like the idea of him being feeling like he was being watched. He was watching himself, but also it's the idea of like other people are watching him, you know?
Yeah. A lot of people are watching him, which we'll see like once we get to the big scene too, that there are a lot of people watching him and asking him what he's doing and is he prepared for what's to come. So I was doing some research onto like the representation of like television mirrors inside dreams. So dreaming of a television can symbolize being in spotlight, receiving a message, or experiencing exposure and judgment from others, which it's true that he's feeling like that judgment and exposure from others inside of this dream. The meaning depends onto the context. A television can represent communications, spiritual messages, or entertainment, but it can also symbolize an unhealthy obsession or influence that shapes your perceptions. And I feel that he has like this type of unhealthy relationship with the television because instead of doing what he's supposed to do, he keeps on getting distracted from the television, whether it be at home or whether it be at Vesuvio's when they go to meet Finn's parents as well too.
Yeah, it's true that the television kind of interrupts the flow of what it is where he is. It's sort of it's a vehicle to travel to a different space, right? Like within the dream, every time he looks in the TV, he goes in to the next scene via the TV. So that's kind of interesting too. Yeah. And also I wanted to say like that the thing with Annette Bening, I think relates to the TV too, because it's like there's a lot of breaking the fourth wall.
And because he like taps her onto the shoulder at first and he goes like, "You're Annette Bening, right?" And then after that he like stops for a minute and then he's like about to do the same thing again because he's distracted by her and she goes like, "What?" Like she's actually annoyed by him and what he's doing.
Yeah. To me, like the TV, the being watched, the Annette Bening kind of breaking the fourth wall feels both in a dream world sense and also like thinking about how David Chase is writing and using the dream as to like kind of go deeper into Tony's subconscious. Like there is something about being like seen, being watched, like the idea of like a celebrity, you know, and this idea of the television and like So there's definitely something there about also like when you're a celebrity, there's like a legacy that you're leaving behind. And or like you hope so, like you hope that you're the these people are leaders in some way, in a positive way. I think he grapples with that in this episode, especially at the end with the baseball coach, that the baseball coach really saw something in him that was positive, and he sort of seemed to veer from that, right?
Even though Tony's not a celebrity, I mean, he's inside of a position of prominence where his
Yeah.
legacy will always be called into question amongst his like family, his work family, and just everybody inside of general as well too. What I also want to say too, yes, I'm going about that legacy thing as well too. His legacy is really called into question as well too.
Please go.
Here,
Yeah.
here's one thing that I want to ask you, because Tony S and Tony B, like Tony S sort of like has going on inside of his mind, inside the real world, he sort of knows the headspace of Tony B, but he doesn't because Tony B is like not revealing too much about what he plans to do. Because one of his best friends who was inside a prison just got killed by Phil Leotardo, who is a prominent figure, and now Tony B's like on edge about that. So my question for you is, can dreams tell you the true nature of someone, even if they're trying to deny it? Because I know that Tony's trying to deny it as much as possible about Tony B and how he feels, but yeah.
I think in the world of The Sopranos, this is a recurring thing, right? That Tony just has, he's intuitive. And actually, I came up with a really provocative and juicy theory for you, Remy, about this episode. Because the first time I watched it, I was like, I don't know what the hook is here. I'm not sure what the threads are here. But then when I have a way to go with this, but I think step one is to say absolutely for Tony Soprano, he can admit to himself some stuff in dreams that he can't admit to himself in real life because it's too scary and hard. And like in a Freudian sense, like that's a part of Freudian kind of dream theory that I think has been proven and that I think actually really makes a lot of sense on a practical level is like this, if you're processing information that's too hard to metabolize in real life, what the dream world does is it breaks it down into symbols and it's kind of piecemeal feeding it to you slowly so that you come to the conclusions kind of not like hitting a brick wall, but more like, oh, okay. And so you kind of piece it together. There's sort of like in Freudian theory, like a little man who's standing between your subconscious and your conscious mind, who's giving you these little symbols, like, and you have to piece them together. And I think that what Tony has is he's got some kind of connection to the little man who's feeding him the symbols, because he had it with Pussy, right? And then now getting it again with Tony B. And I think, yeah, I've had lots of people on the show who talk about knowing somebody was going to break up with someone else, and then they get a text after they wake up from the dream, or they have a dream that someone reaches out to them, and they wake up and that person reaches out to them that day or that week or whatever. So, the short answer, which I just took a long time to say, is yes, I do think so.
And especially when another intimate part of Tony's life, probably the most intimate, would be like when he's inside therapy with Dr. Melfi. And most of the time inside therapy with Dr. Melfi, what are they discussing? Yes, they're discussing what's going on inside of his week, but not only that, but then they'll discuss a dream and how that dream relates to what's been going on inside of his life that week.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back. We are back with Nina again, and we are discussing The Sopranos, Season 5, episode 11, Test Dream. So we're going to give you a quick episode synopsis here, and then we'll get to the dream sequence analysis here. So here's the thing. The episode opens up, and I know that it's going to be a dream episode, but I feel that this is all a dream that he's having here when
the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing might just be a dream, but then you have stuff that's happening inside of the real life. But just the opener to this episode feels like a dream, because the episode opens up with Tony S. and his girlfriend Valentina are together when she starts to cook for him. And then an accident happens that her kimono catches on fire and she ends up badly burnt. They are inside a heat of an argument about going on vacation. However, Tony still remains committed to his family obligations despite the divorce proceedings. And then Tony visits Valentina, who is unaware that it's him inside of the ICU. He reassures her that he's going to be taking care of everything. So I guess that I'll go into a little bit about the representation of fire inside of dreams, because this is important. Because even though it's happening inside of real life, it feels like it's such a dream moment for the Sopranos, that scene inside particular. So fire in dreams. In dreams, fire can symbolize powerful, sometimes contradictory forces like intense emotions, passion, rage, anger, desire, transformation and purification, danger, and the need for change or new beginnings. What do you think about the opening scene to The Sopranos, Test Dream?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about fire last time too, right? So that's definitely, there's a fire water thing for him. And I think they were planning on going to a vacation where they could swim. You know, I think I think very subtly sometimes whenever there's a fire thing, there's a water thing that kind of David Chase throws in. I that scene has always stuck with me. And as soon as I saw her in the kimono, I thought, oh no, I think it's that episode, you know? There is something also, anyways, we'll get into it also. I don't know how I feel about it as a symbol, because I always felt like that part of the that episode was real. And I think for me, what I take from it is just throughout the episode, we sort of engage, or we see women that Tony has not been great to, right? There's when he goes to therapy, it's an ex-girlfriend, I think that he offed. I can't remember her name.
No, she actually took her own life.
She took her own life. Okay.
So we'll get to that, but definitely it's an important. Yeah, I know. And then right before he goes inside of the dream sequence himself, what does he do? Well, he's browsing the television and he goes back to his old habits and he calls for an escort service.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it brings me to a kind of a central symbol that keeps coming back for me with Tony that I didn't expect really to ever think about, which is his anima, his feminine side. And I just feel like there's actually stuff in these dream sequences that really point to him wanting to be connected to that, which we can, I think the horse is really important actually. And I can explain why after when we get there. But so for me, the fire is about I think in terms of the plot, it's a symbol of him just being so negligent, I think, to the women in his life. That's how I read it. How did you feel about it?
Just the way that it starts off, it's so in your face, and it's so, I can't believe it, that I thought at first oh, is this really part of the dream? But then no, because we get two other pieces before the dream sequence. So I'm going to run through this rapid fire. And then, you can interject anything that you want to after I'm finished here. So Tony B gets paid for a recent job he's gotten done. And what I find, this is, he also receives a gift too, which is a plaque that he decides to put inside of a position of prominence, he says. And the plaque reads, "Because I'm boss." That's why, even though it's Tony S who's like a boss, the two Tonys again. Johnny Sex has ordered the Leotardo brothers to hit Angelo, Tony B's friend and former cellmate. Tony S visits Tony B the next day, but something seems off with Tony B that he seems more hostile and more erratic inside of nature. Unhappy with his living aid at his mother's old house, Tony S decides to splurge and move into the suite at the Plaza Hotel, and he spots Dr. Melfi along the way too, but they don't have like any interaction. They just like spot each other. Here we go again with the women. He decides to cold call Charmaine Bucco, his best friend Artie Bucco's like wife, I guess. I don't know, because I know that him and Charmaine are off and on again sometimes. And then he decides to hire an escort service for the night after doing the cold call. Silvio leaves a message for Tony S, a message about Angelo. Tony S tries to reach out to Tony B straight to voicemail. He keeps making phone calls to other people who haven't heard from him, haven't seen Tony B. Thing right now is Tony S has a bad feeling about things. Polly tells Tony that Tony B ain't that stupid. But I think that Tony S realizes what's going on.
It's interesting because I think, Tony Soprano is not a great feminist ally. He's not like number one feminist in New Jersey or whatever. But what really stood out to me when I was watching it before I'm speaking to you now is, so there's this scene in the dream where he's in therapy and it's his ex. You think it's Dr. Melfi, especially because we just had like we just saw her really briefly before, and they're talking about how he wasn't so nice to her, and then he's talking about how therapy is like defecation, a polite way of saying that, and she's like, no, it's giving birth. I think of it as the giving birth, and he's like, oh, like sort of says something about how like. Did she ever give birth? And she's like, no, like I died too young. And then, so I'm going to highlight the defecation just for a second, connected to therapy, connected to childbirth. And then later on, there's a cut, there's a scene between, yeah, there's this whole thing about Artie Bucco's wife, how he thinks that it would be, Tony S thinks it's going to be a good idea for him to date Artie Bucco's wife. Sure, Tony. And then he has a dream where he is intimate with Artie Bucco's wife while Artie Bucco is kind of just there hanging out. And he says, you should rub her muzzle, like rub her nose, I guess. But he says muzzle because she likes that. And then it switches basically almost directly into him being in the house with Carmela on a horse.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like outside of the Plaza Hotel, I think, because you hear the horse carriages going by with the horse hooves with him and Charmaine. If you hear, like, you hear the horse hooves going on inside the background. So
Okay.
definitely you hear that. So yeah, well, no, it's definitely something there too.
So when he's in the house with Carmela on the horse, she's telling him, don't bring the horse in the house. I don't like it when you bring this horse in the house. It's gonna defecate everywhere. And so for me, I made this connection of like, okay, there's this idea of like the defecation, that's not the word they're using, but and the horse and the and women, like there's a connection with Artie Bucco's wife and the horse, and then the horse defecating, and then this idea of childbirth, that like it's a release of something, and the re you can create things that are made of poo, or you can create things that bring life into the world, like a birth. And I think that for me, the thread there was actually like, I think the horse, I think maybe David Chase wanted the horse to represent freedom or like sexual freedom or like, but when I saw it, I was like, you know what? I feel like, and I can project onto this because I can't ask Tony Soprano what it meant to him because he's a character, right? So, but I just really felt like the horse represented some kind of connection to his female self and to almost wanting to be able to like be give birth or be pregnant or something. There was a thread there for me. Maybe it sounds way out of line and it's not at all what we thought it would go to, but.
Just going back there, what it represented to me is the expression of the elephant in the room. And I feel that the horse in the room is a symbolism for, like, the elephant in the room where Tony and Carmela have things that they're not saying to each other that they have to say, and they have to, like, break out that elephant out of the room to, like, actually talk about things inside of their relationship with each other.
More reasonable, your interpretation. I like it. Yeah, but I'm never going to give up my idea that I think Tony is constantly trying to negotiate this feminine side of himself, this like intuitive feminine, like creative side that I think has been buried under this like destructive, like he can't give birth or whatever, he can't get in touch with his feminine side. So he destroys, I think, is classic Sopranos.
The dream sequence begins about 21 minutes into the episode. So in his long, vivid dream, Tony encounters a deceased Carmen Lupitaz, who receives a phone call telling him to kill somebody. Carmen misses his wife, Violet, claims to be alone on the other side. Carmen about the phone. If it's him, tell him you ain't seen me, the man upstairs, referring to possibly God. So here I have a representation of dead people inside dreams, because there are a lot of dead people. So dreams of dead people can symbolize the process of grieving and accepting loss. Often depends onto the emotions and context of the dream, with happy dreams potentially signifying acceptance and healing, while negative feelings could point to unresolved issues or stress about the future. Representations of phone calls inside of dreams. Dreams of phone calls symbolize communication, connectivity, and the need for attention in your waking life. Reflecting aspects of your personality, a situation needs clarity or a message you are trying to send or receive. The specific context of a call, whether you answer it, it rings unanswered, or the caller is familiar and known, provides further clues whether you feel unheard or seeking connection or need to address something important.
He's definitely feels like it's about communication and miscommunication for sure. One of the calls too leads him directly to the house with Carmela, I think, right? It's like, he's like, I gotta go. And then he's sort of just at the house. Yeah. How do you feel about it? I guess we'll start there.
Well, I feel that, you know, all throughout, Tony S. knows that he has to do something, but he doesn't want to accept what he's got to do. So he keeps on, like, not hearing or discontinuing or not wanting to accept what he's about to hear or what he's about to see until he finally sees it. That's what I feel that is happening.
Yeah. Yeah. He's in denial, or it's too hard for him to process the things that he has to do. You know, I don't know. Do you know the theory of Final Girl? Do you know this movie theory? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like the final girl at the end of a horror film that survives the whole entire thing. So like probably the original final girl would probably be Jamie Lee Curtis from the Halloween series, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I love this theory because, I think I learned when I was in university that it was created by a grandmother who went back to school to take cultural studies classes, and she kind of just came up with it. I think I like that. And I also, something about him being on this quest that if he's able to kill someone, I guess, get rid of someone, off someone, that there's a balance that's restored, makes me think of Final Girl. And I know that also makes him the final girl. And so then it comes back to me just being obsessed with him getting in touch with his feminine side. But there is something there, even with like the other dream sequence we talked about last time, like he lost his phallus, right? In the dream, he loses it. And that's part of the theory of Final Girl, is that like, the final girl has like always a gender ambiguous name, like Leslie or like it's always like could be masculine. And so she sort of hands off the phallus to the male killer. And then he's able to reintegrate that. And his obsession with killing comes from a place of being disconnected, I guess, from his masculine side. So there's weird gender stuff there that I think does play into the subconscious when there's violence involved. Am I going way too deep, or what's
no,
happening?
there is definitely inside of horror films, there's violence and sex inside of horror films at all time. And there's a correlation between those two things. For that, it would be a completely different episode, that I would have to do about this, but I would love to maybe do a horror themed episode on that at some point and talk about violence and sex and how it correlates together. But that would be a great idea for at the movies at some point.
Yeah. I'm so scared of horror movies. So I don't know. I could, if you had more than one person, maybe I could do it. Yeah. I did watch horror movies for school, which is weird. If I'm in a class and I can take notes and I can be really disconnected, I can watch it as an observer, but I really lock in movies. And if it's too scary, my somatic system cannot distinguish between something fake scary and something real scary. But that being said, it's one of my favorite movie theories. Yeah.
I will let our audience know again that Funny Drive is currently happening on CJLO 6090 AM. Visit CJLOFundyDrive.com for more information and how you can support CJLO 6090 AM. I'm going to continue a little bit with the dream. So we did talk about the dream with Gloria, where, okay, so he explains the dream to Dr. Melfi. It turns out to be his ex-girlfriend, Gloria, who had committed suicide. And Gloria says, doesn't sound like heaven to me. And then Tony says to her, you wouldn't know more about that than I do. And then he asks her, what did you see in me? Gloria says, the object is to learn what you saw in me, not what I saw in you. And then once again, the cultural reference, you said Tony's obsessed with television. Well, here it comes back. They reference the Honeymooners. And then you hear a little bit of Dr. Melfi's voice, and then mother issues again. And then Gloria asks him, are you ready for what you have to do? And then Tony goes, no sweat, I did my homework. And then Gloria points to the TV where there's a new dream starting.
What did you take from that part of it being Gloria this time who's replacing Dr. Melfi?
Well, there's always people who are replacing Dr. Melfi at all times. I feel that it's never really Dr. Melfi, even though you saw her at the plaza. So once again, I guess that it falls back to mother issues or the feminine people inside of Tony's life. And I feel that it's prominent too. Something important here that he asks, what did you see in me? And then she goes, the object is to learn what you saw in me, not what I saw in you.
Yeah, well, because now it's a blurring of the fourth wall, because in therapy, it's not about what the therapist is going through when the client is there. That has to be really, it's a very specific kind of thing that you would share that you would not share all the time. You wouldn't be in an exchange about, but it's all about how the person in therapy feels and if they're projecting onto the therapist, transference, whatever. So if, but I mean, it is his ex who's dead, who's talking to him. So the object is for him to discover how he felt about her. That's what she says.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he has extremely complex feelings about her. I think he really liked her, right? Was that maybe one of his many, many girlfriends?
Yeah.
He actually liked?
No, it was the car dealership girlfriend who committed suicide. But once again, it doesn't end well because prone to violence and anger and doesn't know how to channel it, I think is what happens and probably why the relationship goes south at the very end of it. So then we get to a driving dream for Tony. And whenever you think about the driving dreams with Tony is always inside the passenger seat. He's never like driving. He's never shotgun riding with the driver. He's always in the back passenger seat at all times. So this dream references another dream that he had. References another dream to Calling All Cars, episode four, season four, episode 11. Sorry. Tony Soprano has a dream in which he rides in the back of his father's old Cadillac. Carmela drives while Ralphie, who is dead, sits in the front with him, and a caterpillar appears onto his bald head that changes into a dark butterfly. Sitting next to Tony would be Gloria Trillo, dead at first, but changes to Svetlana, who is his mother's caregiver, and also who Tony has an affair with at some point, too. Tony discusses the dream in therapy with Dr. Melfi, suggests that it means that Carmela is in control, and Tony wants to square the changes in his lives with others in the car with her. However, inside of the new dream, the test dream, Tony S. finds himself riding in the back seat once again of the 1959 Cadillac, being driven by his long dead father, Johnny Boy Soprano, who is smoking, who asks him want to ride up front, and then they
Is he
say that
smoking
kid.
a cigar? Is he smoking a
Yeah,
cigar?
yeah.
A cigar again. Okay, let's keep that in the back of our minds. Yep.
Kids get sick in the back seat and is accompanied also by deceased Sal Bonpensiero, who is also dead. Tony S. I realize I'm dreaming to Mikey Palmisi, who is already dead. Mikey briefly turns into Artie, who Tony asks, where are they going? Sal tells him, who has now turned into Ralphie, who turns around, and they're telling him, like, we're driving you to the job.
A cigar is never just a cigar. It's just always it's in it feels like it's an indicator of somebody hiding something as well as being this kind of phallic thing, which whatever is maybe less interesting in this part of the dream, but because that's what happened with sorry, Sal, right? I think that's really interesting. I didn't even think of that until you just said he was smoking right now.
I'm just gonna recap this very briefly so that before we go to break here. So, representation of driving in dreams. Dreams about driving often symbolize you're in control over your life and your life's journey. However, Tony's always inside the passenger seat. So, that could mean that he's not inside of control. The dream specific details of who is driving, whether you're in control, he is not, or if the driving is smooth, yes, for the most part, or out of control, provide clues of your current feelings about the direction in life. Dreaming about being inside the passenger seat often symbolizes a lack of control over your life's directions, feeling that someone else is making decisions for you, or being a passive role in when you feel you should be more proactive. And I feel that they're driving him to the job. So even though he says that he's ready, I still feel that he's not ready for what's about to happen. Representation of caterpillar into butterfly. Metamorphosis and transition. In dreams of a caterpillar transforming into a butterfly symbolizes transformation, spiritual growth, and new beginnings. Representing your journey from a confined to a limited state to the freedom, beauty, and new perspective. It highlights the process of letting go of burdens and embracing changes, signifying the potential for profound personal feelings, rebirth, and the discovery of your true self.
Interesting. With butterflies, one of the things that I think is really interesting about that metamorphosis is there's a whole part of the metamorphosis where they're just goo inside of the cocoon. And actually, people don't even really understand what is going on in there. Like they really turn into goo inside of this little vessel. And it's a really profound change. It's not like a it seems almost like a reincarnation or something. Like it seems really like not understandable to humans anyways, what they go through, those little insects. And so I think there's something in there with the cocoon about just like the confusion that happens when there's a lot of uncertainty, or like the way that it can be so destabilizing. Transformation can be really destabilizing. So yes, there's this beautiful thing that can happen if you go through it, but there's also so much uncertainty and weirdness, and honestly, it's kind of gross, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'll remind our audience that you're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 6090 AM. I'm going to go for a quick commercial break and then we'll be back. Welcome back. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 6090 AM. We are talking to Nina today from Dreamscapes about Season 5, Episode 11, The Test Dream from The Sopranos. So we got to the car scene and they're driving Tony back home. Carmela, we need to get ready to meet Finn's parents. Carmela, we're late. Seems more interested in watching a small television inside of the kitchen rather than following through. Carmela tries to get him to focus, tells him his life is playing out on television. So we see A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge. So yes, Tony can sometimes seem like a Scrooge to some people. But then Scrooge, the scene that they're talking about or discussing is the realization that it's Christmas Day, so Scrooge is changing too. Then we see Tony and Carmela on television getting ready, Carmela on TV, and in the dream, I'll wait in the car. Here we go. Tony is unprepared because his teeth are falling out.
Right. Yes.
So representation of teeth falling out in dream. Dreams about teeth falling out often symbolizes a loss of control, heightened stress, or major life transition, but can also be represented opportunities for transformation, personal growth, or anxiety about appearance and vulnerability. The meaning is highly personal and context dependent, so consider yourself current feelings and life solution to understand what your dream means to you.
Yeah, dreaming of teeth falling out is such a classic one. And it's not one that I've experienced many times, actually, but I know it's like, it's the first example people always give, you know, with what people dream about almost. Feels like it might be anxiety related.
Yeah, or that he's unprepared, right?
Yes, yeah.
But luckily, the people that he's about to meet, Finn, is a dentist. So right. I don't know.
So interesting. Yeah, what a through line. Yeah.
So they finally get to the meeting or the dinner with Meadow and Finn. And you think that it's going to be like Finn's parents, but who are Finn's parents? Finn's father is a deceased detective, Vin Macazan, while his mother is played by Annette Bening. Possibly who Tony feels that can possibly represent Finn's parents since he's never met them. Okay, well, I'm going to go with a deceased detective who was like my friend at some point and Annette Bening, because I feel that she can be a good motherly character, I guess. So how long can you stay, Tony S? Not too long, something I need to take care of, Annette. We all know about you, and we think it's great, Carmela. Well, that's a relief. Finn occasionally turns to AJ during the course of dinner, and that's speaking about dental school. People always told us Finn would never amount to much, Carmela. The die is cast. Next, Tony's teeth start to fall out when Finn's father starts singing Three Times a Lady. Tony tries and fails to get Benning's attention the second time. Artie points to Tony to go into the restroom. Tony to Annette, something bad is going to happen. Washroom attendant is watching a small TV, and the same scene unfolds where Vin and Tony enter the restroom. In the restroom, Tony reaches behind the toilet tank, like inside The Godfather Part 1, looking for a gun, which there is now, and encounters Vin. The piece is not behind the toilet, Tony. Well, this is real life. Vin, no, it's not. Okay. Anything you want to talk about from this point?
I mean, it's getting really loaded. I think even at one point, Finn, for a flash of a second, is the son also. It's Tony's son. So there's like a switch that happens there. And this does feel pretty dreamlike, like the conversation, the way that things are kind of flowing in the space. It's pretty clear that we're in a dream world at this point. Do you have anything that's standing out for you?
So basically, like the Godfather reference too, of the gun being behind the toilet, but it's not there. And then I guess that, so here's where what I'll say, okay? So I'll say for radio listeners, if you want to hear about what happens next, I'll have the link to our RSS feed where we're going to have like the entire episode non-edited and stuff. But for a radio episode, we're just going to cut it here and we're going to get to like the final thoughts and stuff. And
Is he better prepared? I don't know. I'd love to know what you think. I don't know if he's better prepared, but I think he might have like a kind of a sinking clarity about what is going on. I think his subconscious prepared him in that way. This episode was a little harder to grasp for me, but I think now that we've been talking about it, I feel like validated that the defecation came back so more times than I even
More
fully
times
remembered,
than,
because I didn't remember that time. I didn't put it all together that at the end too, with the coach, it comes back too. So clearly it's something. It doesn't have to be my wild interpretation, but and I
I feel that, yeah, he is better prepared because of the fact that his subconscious tells him, like, okay, this is the sad reality of what's happened, and you're gonna have to deal with this before it blows out of proportion. But it is blown out of proportion when he wakes up.
And so maybe it was helping him just get into the right headspace for that.
Mindset, yeah. So a dream sequence that really stuck out to me during this episode, for me, the one that I really like a lot probably is basically the actual realization when the hit goes down onto Phil B, because just like it could have been like a graphic thing, but then no, Phil's like still alive and he's like trying to get up. And you know, it's a grappling moment with Tony where he like finally realizes like he could have prevented it, but he didn't, and then people start chasing him because of that. Any dream sequence that stuck out to you the most that you enjoyed from this episode?
That horse in the house just always I always enjoy it. I always enjoy Carmela kind of like dismissively just being like, oh, don't bring the horse in the house, you know, and the
No,
way that
because the thing is that he goes like, oh yeah, don't worry, I'll clean up after it. Like, and then she goes, you always say that, but you never do.
yeah. Oh yeah, because you know, that could mean so many things, right? But I think there's something about the juxtaposition of that horse in their house, you know, and their kind of like very white wall, like there's something just really great about that that really sticks in my mind. And and also just the like breaking of the fourth wall with Annette Bening. I also just really found there's something about the way they dressed Annette Bening that was really interesting because she really had a style that I just couldn't picture anybody else in that world kind of wearing. She has this like blazer that kind of the lapels are like up and it's like white. It's like
Yeah,
really loose.
it's all white, so it's definitely white is a color of like purity, and it's highlighting her, you
Yeah.
know. But I think that those two characters, because Tony's never met Finn's father and mother, that he imagines, okay, well, it's going to be the police detective who's dead as the father, and who's like a motherly figure, Annette
Yeah.
Bening. Okay.
Yeah. No, but that's what everybody's brains do, right? In a dream, we kind of just roll the Rolodex, yeah, of archetypes.
I would love to have you back next year because there's one more dream episode. Well, so it's like a dream episode that's like a two-parter, but basically I'll preface this by saying that when you're going for surgery and you're going under for like anesthetics and you're going into the surgery, sometimes you'll have weird dreams. Or also, like when you're in, because you probably, I don't know if you've had this before, but have you ever had onto your show somebody that's had like a near-death experience or something that have been like onto the brink of death, that they've had like a vivid detail of death and like come back to like tell it or.
I haven't had people on the show, but I know people who have had stuff like that, or who
Okay.
like, yeah.
Because I feel that that's going to be like the last episode that I want to highlight the most from Tony Soprano, dealing with liminality and his transition into Kevin Finity.
Right, the
So,
business.
yeah, the businessman. What I find is very funny inside this one, I'll just like preface this by saying that he gets into a fist fight with some Buddhist monks inside
Right.
of this one.
Yeah, exactly.
I find that hilarious.
Again, with the choosing the violence over choosing the peace, right?
So once again, visit CJLO Funding Drive, CJLOFundingDrive.com to find out more ways to support CJLO 1690 AM for community-based radio, information, and entertainment. I'll close this up with anything you want to plug very briefly. What's up next for Dreamscapes for Funding Drive?
I want to plug that we want to have Remy on the show because I know you keep track of your dreams. So if you choose a bunch of dreams, I'd love to
Perfect.
have on the show. Yeah.
I would love to do a Monday and maybe 2026. Let's put it out there. 2026. I'll come up with some good dreams and yeah, we can discuss them live on air. I'd love to do that. All right.
Okay. I'm so excited. Yeah. Thanks for having me on again, Remy.
So Nina is normally heard on to Dreamscapes from 4 to 5 on Mondays on CJLO 1690 AM. A great show to support as well too during the CJLO Funding Drive. Thank you for joining me for this episode, Nina.
Thanks, Remy.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses and her boyfriend too. And the it's a long day living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yard, and I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart. Vampires walking through the valley, move west down Ventura Boulevard, and all the bad